much, Mr. Chair. I'm going to see if this microphone can work from this point here. We did have a video we could share also showing an overview of the construction of the domes. It's about 12 minutes long. For tonight, I think we're going to move on to this condition and report. Interesting note before I get started is kind of similar to a house analogy. Your expenses are based on what you're investing in. So as we go through my portion of the brief, I'd just like to state that obviously there's a little more investment that's required in the structure itself. So as I stated prior, I'm a facilities management division director. I work with a wonderful team of engineers and architects who have worked in these facilities. It's my honor to represent them. I'm going to try and provide you a quick overview for those that were at the public hearing. For those of you that were at the public hearing or any meetings at the Parks Committee, some of this might be repetitious material, but we'll work through it quickly. Try and give you an overview of where we're at, and at future meetings we can describe further matters that are issues with the domes themselves. So real quick, building off of what Sandy described, the timeline there goes back to 1965. Again, we showed this as part of the public hearing. Obviously, the colors there are just meant to generate a narrative of the condition of the structure. And on the top, you'll see ribbon cutting and then some other assessments we'll get to and reports that have been done. What you'll see throughout is starting in 1994, when window systems are 20 to 30 years old, there starts to be some issues. Parks notices that we need to do an assessment. How do we repair this structure? And there's continued plans and assessments throughout until today. What I would note, and I'll talk about a little further in a minute, is not always assessments are the same. Apples and oranges a bit. The 94 assessment's a lot of engineering assessment. The 2000 master plan was a vision for this park and this conservatory. So you have to be very cognizant of what you're reading, because in the 2000 master plan, you'll note there are no substantial costs. There's $5 million, but substantial costs for the structures themselves. So as we work through these reports and we provide further information on them, that's an important note. What you'll get from this chart is that the windows have not been completely replaced. The window frames of the domes have not been completely replaced. The water infiltration continues. Until that is stopped, we're going to see these facilities continue to degrade. And that is a lot of the notes you hear mentioned regarding the 3 to 5 year window. Also noted up there in the bottom right is there has been substantial investment. I wouldn't want anyone to walk away thinking there has not been substantial investment into these facilities. Maintaining the facilities requires recapitalization to a point that we're going to discuss. Really quick on some items that have already been discussed. Pardon if these are kind of too simple, if you will, but I really find them useful in the water analogy for what a geodesic dome is. So a geodesic dome is not what we have here, right? We'll go through the conoidal dome. But it's structurally sound onto itself based on geometry. There's a lot of these built throughout the United States. You can draw that line right through the structure in various places, and it is going to be structurally sound, very similar window size shapes, and on the bottom right is what you would typically see for a geodesic dome. Normally, well, spherical by definition, and typically don't have a frame, is where I was going to go next. You're not going to see the interior frame that you see here typically. Again, just some real quick examples. The picture on the right is in Omaha. It's a Mutual of Omaha dome at the zoo. It's a very large desert dome, geodesic type. Windows are identical in sizing, and there's no interior frame. The structure itself supports itself. So that brings us to the Mitchell Park domes and how there's a unique construction, and with unique comes very different challenges. So you can see that there's a concrete frame inside of the aluminum frame. For all of us who have been here and looked at the beauty of these domes, we're familiar with this. It also presents substantial challenges relating to water infiltration, and we'll discuss that. If you think of it as a bridge, if you will, the analogy is not perfect, but it's used a lot. When the underside of the bridge begins to spall and fail, you reach a certain point, you don't take the matter into attention immediately, that you must replace the bridge. So the analogy works. You know, we're all at this point where we decided we need to close the domes and address this immediately for the safety of the public. We've heard them referred to as beehive shape. Conoidal is the way we would refer to them. We didn't get to watch the video on the construction, but a lot of these windows, all the windows are single pane. A lot of them are similar sizes or shapes. All of them were cut on site when they were built. The facility has racked and speared and wind and other settling issues. To replace the windows means verifying every single one. So I'm going to go into with that the complexity there. A real quick picture of what we have been seeing at this facility. It's connected, again, that's the concrete frame on the left. You have a connection, what we call a nodal point of connection. There's 5,100 hub connections, 1,700 per dome. The water will travel across there if it's condensing, leaking, or whatever the case may be, a little different for each dome. And eventually the concrete will fall. Not structural in nature, but falling from 60 feet, not acceptable for a facility that we're hosting guests. I have some examples over here of some material we had found after closure, before we got the mesh up. Substantial. Let me see if I can. Substantial, both in weight and size. And the staff here has done a phenomenal job monitoring where they find it. So obviously then, we installed the mesh, right? 3 tiny pieces located on the exterior, on the outside of the dome. The mesh is doing its job. So, not a solution, not a repair, and I don't think this is occurring, but for anyone questioning closing of the domes and doing this project, they should not. The proof is right there. That was the proper thing to do. The engineers did a fantastic job picking the right product and getting it in place. So I'm sorry, there's a lot of text here. We'll provide the information publicly, and that's kind of the reason for it. It adds in some additional details. But here's the challenges that we've seen over the last 20 years since that 1994 report. Getting anywhere in this facility above 20 feet typically required scaffolding. So the structure was painted as it should have been in 1965 or through the years when it was open. The specs from that paint said to be painted again 7 years later. They haven't been painted since. We could not get to those elements that were higher without scaffolding, which means basically raising a lot of the plants. So that's where you're going to see a lot of the degradation in the structure. In the last few years, we've found some lifts to be able to get up to those points. That's how we installed the wire mesh. That's how we inspected the structure. So it's less of an issue now, and it's actually lowered costs in some areas. 9,400 windows is really, just truthfully, rather mind-boggling. They're not all the same size. They've all got to be measured and cut to their shape. They're single pane, they're brittle, and something as simple as hail can crack them, and they're going to stay cracked until we get to repairing them. That would require a crane in order to do so. 5,100 hub connections, as I mentioned. That really, not unique, but phenomenal portion of this facility is the internal drainage system, that the condensation can come down through the drains and down, but if you can't access the drain hubs, you can't clean it. So that has been a source of an issue. If you come earlier to the tropical dome, it's raining or condensing, you see that. You see the hubs dripping on you as you go up there. Another challenge, of course, as I mentioned, is ensuring the plant life. The $1 million of plant life or more is maintained throughout those major projects. And that's going to be a concern this task force has to take into account when we talk about major renovation or recapitalization. And then the final one we have here is it doesn't meet current ADA accessibility standards. You know, truthfully, just really unfortunate that we have ramps throughout this facility where you can go smell flowers. Some individuals can't take part of that experience because it doesn't meet those accessibility and code standards that it should. So really quick, sorry I'm going fast here. There's a lot to cover, and we can come back for specific questions. In the last 2 years, obviously purposely orange, yellow. We're in this yo-yo phase where we're trying to keep the facility fully functional and moving towards the future, but we just had to say enough's enough. This facility needs the time of all of us in the community to decide what the way forward is. So we closed the facility in order to make it safe for the public and said, you know, I'm hesitant to say 5 years. There's a timeline there, and I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, your comments regarding the water. It could be a spalling issue that comes to light. It could be the wire mesh isn't holding, and we have to go back up and replace that. There's a lot of issues that we're going to have to monitor for the next 5 years. Truthfully, you know, it could be sooner, but we'll ensure that we're watching the facility and notify anyone if there's any issues. But this facility, I reiterate, is structurally sound and fine, but needs to be monitored. So real quickly, you may or may not have seen this. You know, truthfully, this is one of our, unfortunate that we needed this project, but one of our proudest projects, that the solution that was come up with the horticulturalists and the engineers, I think, is phenomenal. You have to recognize that we have to be able to see the structure to monitor it. You also need all the light coming in for the plants. So the solution that we found was stainless steel based, so we don't have to deal with rust and corrosion issues, but allows the plants to flourish and thrive while the folks who come and visit this facility get the same experience. They still want to have their wedding and show them. So the final note there is, obviously, again, I've repeated it, not a fix. It elongates the serviceability of the facility, but not a repair. Just a picture real quick. That is with the wire mesh installed. I understand that's a picture. I expanded, but it really, if you go in the show dome and look across, it's not directly noticeable. It's a fantastic product. If you'd like to see what it is, there's a sample behind me, too. So a little early to talk about some of our major hurdles and challenges, but I just wanted to get a couple things out there that we've noticed. So we talked about updating some reports we've had in the last 10, 20 years. So here's a quick list. A lot of ideas come out of the public, what we can do to help us with our concrete issue at the domes. How do we know that that's going to sustain? How do we know, what can we do to guarantee there's no further spalling in an existing concrete frame? And where are we willing to invest to ensure that occurs, that we don't need the wire mesh anymore if we keep the existing concrete frame? Another major question is, are we willing to leave the wire mesh frame after investing $20, $30, $40 million or more? I would argue that if you're going to invest that kind of money in a facility, you don't expect to see wire mesh, you know, keeping you between some falling concrete. Major question that we need to tackle in the future is, with all of those costs we just described, some have to be cash financed through the county. Some can be borrowed against. It depends on how you're doing the project. So if you're replacing some glass windows, that needs to be cash. If you're replacing the structure and elongating the serviceable life, that can be borrowed. That's a factor that will come up, especially when we're talking about magnitudes of money of tens of millions. How important is the energy efficient window frame system? We can replace single pane wire glass windows all day, every day for the next 50 years. Is that cost effective, and is that the example we want to set by having a horticultural conservatory that's all about the environment? How important are those perceived efficiencies in programming space? Shouldn't we look at that first before we choose to do a repair to a structure that may or may not fulfill those needs? And then the bottom two I'll lump together. You know, how is the county going to fund the capital costs and what I started off this presentation with, the costs needed to sustain the structure? You know, it's not as simple to put parametric costs on the domes. They're a very unique facility. But it's safe to say that we should be investing more in the facility than we have been. Really quick, I'm nearing the end. We had a slide here that we presented at the public hearing in February just to understand the bands that we're dealing with here. And really, truthfully, we could ignore the numbers on the right to know that we're all aware a partial repair of this facility will be less expensive and will not lengthen the serviceable life as much as we need. New construction may be a lot more contentious, if you will, but is obviously going to extend the serviceable life, and there's a huge bandwidth of how much money you're going to spend and how much square footage you're going to construct. And then a full restoration, a full historic restoration, if you will, could be quite costly. The question there is, does the wire mesh need to stay, and how much serviceable life are you going to get out of that facility? So we're working on some projects that should help the task force through this process. So we had a 2008 cost estimates related to the show dome to do some major repairs, and we've worked very hard in the last few months to update this information with a few iterations. So in the 2008 report, we talked a lot about the show dome. It was options 1 through 5, they called it, varying levels of repair. We tried to keep those and keep those intact for what the scope was, so you'll see options 1 through 5 in there. We added what we called an option R for a replacement in kind cost analysis to keep the concrete frames. I broke out option 5 there because option 5 is you're removing the concrete frame and replacing the domes as they exist with structures that don't require a concrete frame. And then there are obviously a multitude of other options. This was an engineering analysis, so we did not want to get into programming and design ahead of where this task force wants to go. We used the same square footages, and we just looked at what would be the cost to replace this facility in differing forms, and there will be a range presented. So on the very bottom, you'll note that it should be ready for the task force in the next meeting. We've gone through final drafts with the engineers trying to produce this information. I can tell you the costs, they're all over the map, ranging from $14 million, I think, in option one, up to 60, 70s, or maybe even 80s on the other options in terms of millions. Option one, the $14 million number, I'll tell you, is to replace the broken panes of glass. I don't really know what that gets us. I really don't. Panes could break the next day, racking and steering the facility. We're not addressing the facility at that point. So that's the magnitude of the situation we're dealing with when you talk about three domes. So one thing I wanted to make really clear is that all this information is public. All this information is on the dome's website. All the links to the reports, master plans, and studies are there for everyone to utilize. We're happy to provide overviews and briefs of information that need further to dive into. As I said, I consider myself a conduit to our architecture and engineering staff. We will do all we can to answer your questions. That concludes our presentation. Any questions?
Is there a report on the energy efficiency that exists?
There's not a direct report, and here's why. There are at least three substantial differences in terms of the types of glass that you would install, which then change the type of structure you would need to build to support that heavyweight glass. We can dive into that. We debated that a lot with the 2008 cost report update, that how far do we go? Because there's so many decisions that have to be made. We know how much the facility expends in energy, and we know there's an opportunity for savings. But I would tell you the return on investment isn't what you want or hope on other facilities, because if you have a $225,000, just average it out, energy consumption bill, and you lower it to 180, but you spent $50 million to get there. So I think it's definitely a factor, but we need to get a little further into what type of system we would be installing and why.
Mr. Chairman, going back to the baseline, is there something like baseline, like what's right now, what energy is being expended?
Absolutely, we have that data. I'm sorry, I don't have it with me here, but we could work with our energy team to pull together that data.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, I would ask that this presentation be made available to the members of the task force and likewise that the public be interested in seeing it.
I have one question about that. Is this website one where we can post the dome's website? Is that something that we can post material like this?
We have it on the county front page.
Yes. That was the intent of the website, is to, before Task Force was its first meeting, was to share everything publicly. So the public hearing presentation's on there. Just every presentation we've given publicly is there, and this one could be placed there too.
So we should be aiming toward having most of the material that is presented to the Task Force show up on the website. It's a convenience to us to avoid collecting sometimes faster. Any further questions?
Just one more.
in order to meet both. We want to meet the programming standard as well as the what we do to the dorm.
And I just want to reiterate what I said in the beginning. This task force at this point has an open mind and an open palate in terms of what we see as a future vision. And if that future vision is different from the current programming, and that has consequences for the needs for additional facilities, then we should decide about that. If we decide about that, we might give some